Hello, everyone, and welcome. It's the Full Press NFL Podcast, and it's Tuesday, which means it's Studs and Duds time with my man, Braden, our FPC Chiefs managing editor. Braden, another Tuesday, another Chiefs win. A couple teams at 2-0 right now, so feeling pretty good. Feeling like a pretty good Tuesday.
Yeah, it's going really good around here. Saw a lot of interesting football weekend long, and some shocking teams for my perspective that we're going to get to today, so can't wait to get it started.
Yeah, so if you didn't listen to last week's episode, well, first, shame on you. Second, each and every week on Tuesday, we're going to give our three studs and three duds. Sometimes it'll be the same, sometimes it'll be different. Either way, we'll have a little fun discussion about them. And this week, I mean, there was a lot of games to choose from that had a lot of potential studs, I would say. And I mentioned before we started recording that you could have picked technically three from Miami alone, but we're not going to do that. We're going to kind of try to spread it out as much as we can and take in as much as we possibly can. So I will start in Miami, though, because I do think that it's impossible not to have this player as one of the three studs this week. And maybe Braden disagrees, but at least in my opinion, I think it's impossible not to include Tua, who 6 touchdowns, obviously four in the fourth quarter alone. Just a shocking, or at least from my perspective, shocking performance, because, you know, I was hesitant on Tua, skeptical, kind of, you know, I got to see it to believe it. And yesterday was quite the performance. And, you know, it wasn't just about Tyreek Hill. He made good decisions. He did what he was supposed to do and then some, and obviously had a breakout game. Let's just hope he doesn't go the way of Mitch Trubisky, who once upon a time had a 6-touchdown, 0-interception game. So number one for me, number one stud, Tua. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with the Miami Dolphins. And this is kind of a win that you just kind of have not really seen from this Miami team over the last few years when they've had good stretches, usually kind of relying on the pressure of the defense and the takeaways. But no sacks, no takeaways from their defense this week. It was all the offensive comeback and a game against a team that's playoff caliber every year that they just have not really had a lot of those kind of wins. So to see them get one like this in comeback fashion, it's a new territory for the Dolphins. So entire Miami team is my number one stud.
All right. Well, I'll let you go with number two. Who's your second stud?
Yeah, I got to go with another comeback, and I'm going to go with Kyler Murray. I just think watching the first 2 weeks, it looks like he basically has no help out there. And now there's injuries with that to kind of consider, but there was a lot of times where he just kind of said F it and did it on his own. I don't know if you saw much of that game, but there was one late call in this one where Kingsbury was kind of shown kind of screaming into his headset, telling Kyler to trust him over and over again, and it just looked like Kyler kind of said screw it and did his own thing. So kind of just carried the team on his back, and of course it was a defensive score that won them the game in overtime. But some 2-point conversions, that very slim margin of getting them converted, and he kind of did it all on his own. So Kyler Murray, if he plays like that, he's going to kind of keep the Cardinals in it, even if it's not always leading to victories.
Yeah, I did get to watch a good chunk of that game. It was fun and exciting, and trust me, I focus on some of the comebacks too, but more so on the other side of our other segment, part of our segment here, and the dud side of things. So number two for me is, you know, kind of boring, but another quarterback, Josh Allen. You know, I said it before this weekend. I'll say it again. It feels like it's been 2 months since we've seen the Bills play, but they clearly did not skip a beat. 41-7, Josh Allen, and 4 touchdowns. I believe it's either 4 or 5 straight games with 4 total touchdowns, which is creeping up on the record set by Peyton Manning. Another great performance from Josh Allen, who, you know, it seems like, you know, these two players, Patrick Mahomes and Allen, are going to be trading off the best odds for MVP early on. But, you know, Josh Allen, 8 touchdowns so far this season, and he is my stud for a second week in a row, actually. He made it last week as well, so. Oh, I guess, you know what? I guess that's my turn, right? I see I'm kind of screwing up our own rotation here. So my final stud, and I'll let you give your last one. I tried to go outside the box today. I just didn't want to, you know, stick to defensive players or anything like that. Devin White for the Bucks. 11 total tackles, 4 solo, 7 assisted, a sack, and just a really great game overall from Devin White. A great defensive game in general from the Buccaneers. You know, their offense right now, they just signed Cole Beasley today. That's because Breshad Perriman, by the end of the game, was their number one receiver, and I believe they're on their third left tackle, who before yesterday had 0 NFL experience. So the offense is going to come for the Buccaneers. It's just a matter of them getting healthy. So far, so good for the defense, who is looking quite the formidable unit and could, by the end of the year, be the best one in the league. So my number three stud for this week is one of the players that anchors that defense, and that's Devin White.
I'm going to go with the defensive player as well. And rookies, sometimes it takes a while for them to make an impact. But Aiden Hutchinson for the Lions, this might have got lost in a high-scoring game. 3 sacks on the day, 6 total tackles, and 3 quarterback hits. So a guy that started the season kind of seemed like a consensus pick for defensive rookie of the year. A big day for him. And what a lot of the voters are probably going to look towards is that sack number. So 3 in one day. In a high scoring game, that's some great stuff for the rookie there in Detroit.
Yeah, it's funny. I was actually going back and forth between the two. That was my other option, and I almost went Hutchinson too. So great minds think alike. So all right, let's shift over to our duds, because that's can sometimes be the funner side of it all, because we get to poke fun a little bit. my first one, and maybe it's just because it's fresh in my memory, Kirk Cousins. We ask the question all the time, what's missing from Kirk Cousins? He seems to have the statistical output that puts him up, you know, in a elite tier of quarterbacks, but it's never really materialized, and he's always had talent around him. Well, he just kind of is missing something that it takes to be a Super Bowl caliber quarterback, and we saw it yet again on the national stage as just a poor performance, 3 interceptions. After Jefferson had a great week last week, I think he was targeted twice, maybe 1 reception. It was a bad game in general by the Vikings, but Kirk Cousins, tough day at the office for him. So number one dud for me.
Yeah, and it could have definitely been more interceptions. It seemed like last night for Cousins, a few dropped ones, and I think Thielen maybe knocked one out of the Eagles defender's hand. So just seemed like it could have been even worse on a bad night for Cousins. My number one dud is going to be the Indianapolis Colts. This is a team going into the year I kind of thought maybe was going to take a bit of a step. I really like the kind of offseason moves they made. But Matt Ryan right now looks like, you know, a shell of himself. And I think this was, I want to say, 6 straight year they had a different starting quarterback in week 1. So I just don't know how much longer they can kind of continue to put a Band-Aid on that position without kind of making some changes with their style of play. But wasn't just Matt Ryan. I mean, Jonathan Taylor was kind of shut down by the Jacksonville defense. They didn't score a single point. And really, this is a Colts team that I really thought was going to kind of take that next step. I kind of wonder what Frank Reich's future is going to be if things don't really start improving. I know a coach that everyone likes, but Jim Irsay, you know, he's kind of been a little bit more quick to pull the trigger on making changes lately. So Colts team that I expected to be a lot different did not show up at all in Jacksonville.
Yeah, and it
number two dud for me. I got to go with the bank. Oh, sorry.
No, you're good. I was just gonna add on and say, yeah, I was, you know, I'm kind of shocked to see what we've seen out of Matt Ryan, which is nothing. It looks like a guy who's completely, you know, this is like Space Jam-esque, you know, where someone came and stole his remaining talent. He just hasn't been good, and I almost feel like I missed the ball because he didn't, a little spoiler alert, but he didn't make my list, and I almost feel like I should add him on. So go ahead, number two for you.
Yeah, number two, I'm going to go with the Bengals offensive line. 13 sacks allowed in the first 2 weeks and 6 against Dallas in week 2. I mean, they spent a lot of money on that offensive line, and I thought they went after some guys that, you know, obviously had proven to be very reliable pieces. But you know, Joe Burrow getting hit that many times, I mean, he's already been hit so much his first 2 years, and we saw him take that that knee injury, a big hit in his first year. So you know, it's not going to be sustainable if they kind of keep letting Joe Burrow getting hit like that. And I love Burrow more than anybody, but you just kind of wonder if that Cinderella spark of the Bengals is going to kind of wear off quicker than most people would have expected. But the offensive line, that's where I got to go to in a game where they almost came back but fell just short, and now 0-2 in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one. I mean, you'd expect better things, but again, I mean, you said almost that's the same line you could have used for week one, you know, same thing for the Bengals. And I feel like this might be a long, long season for Cincinnati. Number two for me is Jameis Winston. I unfortunately, with some DirecTV hiccups and some other issues, you know, obviously the Bucs game was on television down here where I live. So I had a lot of attention on it, and Jameis, like, obviously they had a pretty big comeback win last week and all that, so it kind of hid some of the glaring issues, which was their offense for three quarters last week was non-existent. And not only was it non-existent again, and I'm not going to, you know, hit them too much because, again, I think the Bucs defense is pretty good. The old Jameis started to creep out, and when he started, it just came full force because he turned the ball over, he got interception happy, and was making kind of the mistakes that plagued him early in his career. And one of my biggest concerns about Winston and some of the projections with him going into the season was that people were only focused on the 9 games that he played with Sean Payton as his head coach, ignoring the handful of years that he'd been in the league before. And I couldn't get over that. I just didn't think that he changed overnight. I had to see more. And so far it's starting to look like maybe he's not quite the fully changed quarterback. So disappointing game for Jameis Winston, who had, you know, look, they had opportunities to win. Like I said, the Bucs are running a junior college offense right now. So, you know, that's something you need to take advantage of at home. And he did not step up. So Jameis Winston is number two for me. Number three is a combo. And I said I was going to focus on the comebacks, and I couldn't pick just one team to focus on. So I picked both. I went with the Browns and the Ravens because for a number of reasons, you know, obviously the Ravens wasted a great game by Lamar Jackson. The offense is not completely absolved, but how they played the end of that game was just baffling. Soft coverage is a nice way to put it. That might have been the best way you could have described it, but it was almost non-existent. And it was a team that certainly deserved to lose. And look, any team that blows a lead that big it deserves to lose because you got to do a lot of things wrong to do so. The Browns as well. I don't want to blame Nick Chubb. It was Chubb, right? Yeah, it wasn't Chubb who went down or scored late in that game, correct?
Yeah,
I think yeah, so. Yeah. Chubb. Okay, I didn't want to say the wrong running back. I was pretty sure it was Chubb, but you know, you kneel down, you go down, you run the clock out, the game's over. You know, and it's like it's mistakes like that. And it that wasn't the reason completely why they lost. I mean, they were up by 17 points or whatever it was late in the fourth quarter. So it's like, no, you lost for a lot of other reasons. But that was kind of that just kind of sums it all up for them. It's like you go, you score that late touchdown, miss the extra point, and what all you could have done was just gone down at the 1 yard line. Great coach teams do that. I mean, there's no excuse for that. It's not like, oh, he should have expected them to hit the extra point. No, that's a situation where you put aside scoring and individual, you know, accolades and just take the knee and guarantee victory. So the Browns browned, and the Ravens, shockingly, maybe not, because they've had one of the worst pass defenses in the league the last few years. Definitely disappointing, though, for a Ravens team who I think a lot of people primarily because of Lamar Jackson, think could make a Super Bowl run. So number three for me are the Browns and the Ravens, really stinking up the NFC North, AFC North. AFC North went 0 for 4 this week.
That's the funny thing to me about the Browns is Joe Flacco continuing to beat them.
The new Ryan Fitzpatrick?
I think he's very close, yes. It just seems like he's like the games where coming off like the absolute worst performance he has, he's able to kind of have that one big moment. I'm going to go to one of his actual former teams for my number three dud. And I got to go with the Denver Broncos. Maybe kind of weird putting a team that won this week in that category, but man, there's just a lot of coaching decisions or coaching questions that I think you have to walk away with in this one. I mean, the fans were actually counting down the play clock.
That was funny. That was funny.
I mean, there were multiple delay of games, a lot of timeouts wasted. And I think one time they had a punt return situation. Their punt returner wasn't out there. So, from a coaching perspective, I don't know if Nathaniel Hackett's just a little overwhelmed right now or just not used to kind of being in that CEO role, moving from an offensive coordinator position. It just maybe a little too overwhelming for him right now. But even Russell Wilson was bad, 6 of 19, I believe, in the first half. So a lot of situations that could have drowned this team, but thankfully Houston only got a couple field goals, so they survived. But man, it was a big mess in Denver.
Yeah, I'm not about ready to put Russell Wilson in the same category as what I think Matt Ryan's going through right now. But I mean, he has not looked good in 2 weeks, and yeah, like you said, despite the win, it's very concerning for that team. So I don't want to sound the alarm yet. I'll do that on another show. But it's certainly after 2 weeks, it's very uninspiring play coming from the Broncos. They could have very well made my list too. We could have expanded this to like five duds this week, and we could have covered quite a bit. So that's going to do it. Be sure to search Full Press NFL Podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, go to fullpresscoverage.com where you can listen to it. And of course, read all the great articles. So thank you, Braden. Thank you, all you listeners, and we will talk to you next week.